Welcome in. Glad to have you with us. We are live on The Roar on a Thursday, July 23rd, 2026. Thanks so much for joining us here on Out of Bounds. William Quaggenbush, Ben Milstead, live inside the Upcountry Fiber Studios. Upcountry Fiber is a stronger connection. So much to get to today. College football hot seat stuff. Texas, LSU, maybe Pete Golden comes up, maybe not. Love it when a plan comes together. Talk some Braves, how they won and lost the game in like 30 minutes and barely won it at the end. I should point that out. That was amazing. We're going to talk about a lot today, and we're going to run the gamut. It is the last day of SEC Media Days, and we've kind of been bouncing around with some big-picture topics with the SEC. So we'll get to a lot of that. Ben Milstead, it's great to see you today. How are we feeling on a Thursday?
Great to see you too, Quack. I am okay? I think I'm good. I've been busy here in the office, you know, this little thing called football coming up, and so that kind of gets my juices flowing when you're able to start working on those types of things. Also feel vindicated. Is it vindicated? I don't know. You tell me. I told you earlier this week that I made the mistake of getting caught on the railroad tracks kind of between and had to drive around the crossbar, the bar that comes down there. A train hit a car on the one here in Easley this morning.
Shut your mouth. Today?
Today. Early in the morning.
No.
No word if I know that someone was taken to the hospital. We pray that person's okay, but I hate that it happened, but at the same time, I'm like, okay, I'm not alone. And it is a little eerie that we talk about that and then it happens a few days later here. So hopefully that person is okay.
Man. And it, you know what? I drove through that light that you were talking about that you turned and kind of got stuck in between. It is easier than you might think to do that. Like I was kind of trying to put my, I didn't have to turn right, but I was kind of putting myself there and I thought, you know what? Anybody could totally do that.
Not a lot of reaction time there. Now the car that got hit was at the, what I call the main one right here. You know which one I'm talking about, the main one.
Yes.
The one close to the police department and all that right there. And that's a really wide one. But yeah, so hopefully that person's okay. I will never ever question how that happens again.
No, sir. 654 Roar if you'd like to get in. 654-7627.
How are you today?
I'm good today. I'm doing really well.
Have you had a good day?
Yes. Okay. I've had a very good day today. Very good morning. And I'm in a gentler place, you know? Like, Ole Miss ain't stealing my joy today. These Ole Miss fans who are going to try. If you don't believe, and let me tell you something. This is my new petty. I'm going to be so over the top and petty. It's going to annoy the crap out of people that agree with me. And I know this. I said yesterday, when Pete Golden gets fired, we're having cake. I don't even care. Georgia's not getting arrested enough, and we need cake in here. Doggone it. To me, the Ole Miss folks are going to turn on Pete Golding, and you know what? I'm going to quote tweet all of you. I'm quote tweeting all of them because the conversations that I'm being sucked into, or they're trying, utterly laughable and ridiculous. I do have some things to say about Pete Golding because, you know, from a media standpoint, he was very good yesterday. Very good. And exactly what we want when we go to SEC Media Days. Another reason I'm nervous today. I'm nervous. Travel anxiety, Ben. Clemson, not like imminent, but like, you know, in a few days. Clemson has released this. Can we say this? Can we talk about it?
We need to talk about this. This is big for Clemson, and this is big for the Roar And you.
So, and me also. Clemson men's basketball. This is a release that just hit my inbox at 11:53, so just 20 minutes ago. Clemson men's basketball is going to Italy. Going to visit Rome, Florence, and Como over 10 days. They're leaving Monday and coming back the following Thursday. Okay? I, too, am going to Italy to visit Rome, Florence, and Como along with Clemson men's basketball.
I'm not bitter.
And the reason is, and this has happened before, coaches always ask me, you would not believe, and you might believe, because people might ask you the same thing. Women's basketball has done, I don't know, four or five foreign trips in the dozen years or so I've been working with them. And I get asked every now and then, so you going with us to Greece? You going with us to wherever? And I'm always like, no, guys. Like, I have a job here. I can't just go and spend 10 days with Greece and then just, like, watch y'all play. Like, I can't. I'd love to, but I can't just do that, okay? I'm not, like, an employee of the university. I can't really do that. But I was asked back in June if I'd be willing to go and broadcast games. So you're going to be able to hear on our station the three exhibition games that Clemson men's basketball will be participating in Italy. The game in Rome will air on Wednesday, July 29th. It will air during our show live. So it's 6:30 p.m. over there, which is 12:30 p.m. Eastern. So we will be on to do pregame, and then we'll just carry the game in the time slot on Wednesday. That'd be so fun. There's another game on Saturday, August 1st, that will be aired on Thursday while we're flying back. And then there's a game on Tuesday, August 4th. All three of those games are 6:30 local and 12:30 Eastern. So all three of those fit very neatly into the out-of-bounds window.
And I don't know how much we can go into this, but wait, there's more with the games themselves.
Oh, if you...
To me... This is the bigger, more impressive portion of this.
If you ever wondered, what's coach thinking during a game that his team's playing? Listen, I'll give an out. If Brad Brownell decides at the last minute, I'd rather have a player do this. And there are enough injured players that we could fill a broadcast, okay? There's enough injuries and guys who are going over there but not playing. We could do it. I'm told that Brad Brownell is going to join us for one of these games and be the color commentator while his team is playing a basketball game.
Isn't that crazy?
And, I've never heard that.
And possibly assistance for the other games. I love the mic'd up stuff in pro sports that we have now. I love that insight. I love hearing an outfielder in a baseball game you know, telling us why he's moving towards the line or towards center field or, you know, whatever. Just the thought process. Hearing the coaches talk about this during a game, it's unprecedented as far as I know. And we do sort of put that with an asterisk with Brad Brownell because as competitive as he is, I would not be shocked if he decides not to. And that would be perfectly okay. But the point is, we're going to have some kind of insight from the coaching staff during games. And that is fantastic.
And you know what? I'm excited to get Ace Buckner on some. Because Ace Buckner, I went to practice on Monday. Ace Buckner's like a player coach right now. He's stepping up, taking the lead. And I think he'll do great. Carter Welling's going on the trip. He ain't playing. I'd love to get him for a few minutes. Just cycle some folks through.
Yeah.
Try to talk about their teammates while they're playing. There's going to be a lot of social media content, too. And there's a really good plan. Rick Bagby, Ben Winterode, like the folks at Clemson, Jeff Callen, like they have a really good plan. Mike Money and Clemson Ventures for making sure that with so many new players and so many new coaches, to basically guinea pig a model that says, we can introduce all these new people to Clemson fans while we're overseas in Italy in a way that is unprecedented. I don't know of another school that sends a broadcaster to broadcast games overseas like this. It may happen. I've never heard or seen that.
We've never done it.
That's right.
Yeah, we've never done it, and there's been several trips. Couple textures asking about the teams that you're playing. Don't know.
I have BC Salute. I'm sure that's exactly how you say it. We have a pro camp. I think it's a U-20 team, Italy's U-20 team, that they're going to be playing in the Florence game. And then Orange Bassano in Como.
These may be really good teams. They may not be. Who knows? We're going to find out together.
We are going to find out.
That's not really the point of the trip, though.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, it would be, you know, it'd be helpful, but that's not the point of the trip. So the point of the trip is, I mean, it's, you're allowed to do this, I think, every 4 years. And it's a team building thing. It is a recruiting tool. I mean, I'm not going to lie, it is. Hey, you want to come play at Clemson next year? We're going to Italy. That'd be awesome. Come with us. You know, there's, for international players, there's an NIL element, actually. The things that you cannot do in the United States that you can abroad. Everybody has to go through that. But just the team chemistry aspect is number one here. And you've got, you know, several new players and an all-new coaching staff for the most part. So I think this happens at the right time.
Yeah, I think it'll be great for them. You mentioned the international guys, Levisius, Fuchs. Like, these guys are, because they're international, people may not know this. International players, because of the stipulations of their student visas, cannot accept NIL payments domestically in the United States. But they are allowed to accept money for things overseas. So essentially, those two guys, while we're over there, they are going to be run through the ringer. Like, they're making their NIL money over a week and a half in Italy.
Yeah, and I didn't realize that until recently. That's one of those things. If NIL is going to continue and we start introducing government legislation into this, maybe that's something they ought to look at, because while it's great for the international player to be able to come to the U.S. and play, if all your teammates can make money and you can't, that's a little odd.
We you know, our lawmakers are doing a lot. Let's get them on that. Text from the 864 asks, Qual, congrats on this opportunity. Does this mean we'll have no OOB on the air for 10 days, though, if I heard that right? Au contraire. Not only will we have the three games, there will be some days where, like, Ben and Sam will be on because of things that we have going on. But there will be several days because of the schedule where there is flexibility for me to essentially go back to the hotel and do shows. So there, I think I counted maybe 3 days. So there will be 3 games and 3 shows that I'll be doing, and maybe 3 shows that the two of us won't be on. It's kind of the breakdown, I think, over the course of the 2 weeks.
Yeah, it may just be, well, tune in to see. But there will be several days that Quark is doing, basically doing a remote live from Italy, which that's going to be cool. And I'll be here. And, you know, to complicate matters, Faxon is on vacation next week. So we're going to be doing musical host and producers and such. But we have the majority of days filled. So I think we've done a good job of putting that together. Monday, Out of Bounds will not be on Monday and Tuesday of next week. But after that, it's pretty much on every day.
Okay.
With something.
There we go. So that's that announcement. If things are a little squirrely next week, it's because we're doing a multi-continent show. It will not be the first international broadcast, but it'll be the first international, like, legitimate international broadcast, because, like, we have done Bahamas. Like, you know, there a couple of those. First European broadcast? Probably. I don't know if we've ever done anything like that.
Yeah, I've done several broadcasts outside of U.S. soil, but they were regular games. These games are not on TV. This is the only place that you're going to probably going to even have a hard time finding a box score.
That's correct.
So these are not – this is not like the World Games or anything like that. This is a little more low-key, wouldn't you say?
A little more low-key. Yeah, I would say that. Now, they are taking it serious.
Oh, yeah.
They're taking it very serious going over there.
They're still all competitors.
Oh, yeah.
But they're true exhibition game. They're more exhibition even than the exhibition game that you have at the beginning of the season.
That's right. That's right.
Like, when coaches are going to come talk to you on the radio, they're real exhibition.
All right, short break. We'll come back. Lots more to discuss. We'll get to some SEC Media Day stuff. I want to ask about playoff contenders in a couple of leagues. He is big in the Tigers for Tata's campaign, always is generous with items and with giving, and that's what he does in his life. He loves being a member of the Clemson community, and so he wants to look out for residents of Clemson, whether they're like permanent citizens like me, or whether they're a college student who's got a DUI or an MIP or some charge that is a little more common among college students that doesn't have to ruin the rest of your life. And listen, Nick wants to make sure that you just get the representation that you're entitled to, that you get the type of respect that that is required. And that's what Nick does. He and his team step up to the plate, step up to that challenge, so that you, your parents, whatever, don't have to deal with the stress of that situation. If you find yourself in a legal entanglement, a motor vehicle accident, et cetera, Nick's your guy. Go see him behind Mellow Mushroom. Free consultation, nicklaverylaw.com. Ben, during the break, you said to me, and I wouldn't let you read it, you said, Nick Saban with the dumbest comment of the day. And the whole break, I said, don't tell me. And then the whole break, I really wanted you to tell me. I wanted to know what it was. There have been a lot of listen, I don't – today it's been kind of fine. Lane Kiffin apparently had the longest filibuster since Strom Thurmond, okay? But it disappoints me that Nick Saban would have the dumbest comment of the day. What did he say?
This is a quote that On3 is where I read it. On3 posted it. The first thing I did was look to make sure it wasn't from not On3, and this was a parody account. But, no, this is actually the real thing. Coach Saban was asked about the claims that the Big Ten is the premier conference in college football now. He says, quote, I think the only reason people are talking about this is we dominated for so long and we are so good. Everybody makes a big deal out of being able to beat us. That doesn't mean they're the better than us. And that doesn't mean that they just because you... That's not written right. And that doesn't mean that just because you win the championship that you have a better conference. It just means you have one better team.
Okay.
Nick, that's exactly what that means.
Listen, I agree with that part of it. I disagree with everything leading up to it. Who wins the national title is not indicative of the best conference. But you know who would disagree with that statement? The SEC from 2000 to 2022. You all told us repeatedly, over and over and over again, that who won was indicative of the best conference. Why did they win? Well, because you ran the gauntlet in the whole regular season and finishing eighth in the SEC is like finishing third in the AFC East and all this stuff. Like, you just made it up. You just totally made it up. That if you made it to the top of the mountain, it was because you played in the best league. Now, when the Big Ten, and this goes back to what Eli Drinkwitz was saying, this goes back to what Greg Sankey was saying. Now the Big Ten gets to the top of the mountain. It's because their road was cushy. But it was easy.
You know, he says it just means that you have one better team. But the Big Ten has won 3 years in a row with three different teams.
Right. Oh, no, Ben. It was three really easy paths. Three really cushy schedules. And they weren't challenged at all. And that's why they did it. The SEC team that wins, the SEC fans out there that, you know, you're a fan of an SEC school and you don't do this, I'm not talking to you, but the SEC people that do this are absolutely insufferable because it is impossible to argue with these idiots. Because no matter what happens, The reason is because the SEC is hard. If you win, it's because the SEC is hard. If you don't win, it's because the SEC is hard. If the Big Ten lost, it was because they weren't prepared with the rigors of an SEC schedule. If the Big Ten wins, it was because they weren't saddled with the rigors of an SEC schedule. We're not allowed to use the same logic to sort of contextualize or talk about a great season from a Big Ten team as we are when it's an SEC team. Do you know what I would really love? Is I would really love if we could take each individual case and just say, you know what, 2 years ago, by the way, Indiana, can we just talk about this with Indiana? Indiana's schedule 2 years ago was way easier than their schedule last year, and they didn't win the championship last year. Eli Drinkwitz didn't have anything to say about that, that Indiana did play a tougher schedule, and they rolled through it, a gauntlet. They beat Alabama by 100,000 trillion in a Rose Bowl. They dominated every snap of that game. We're not allowed to say that, though, because the only answer to any question, whether you win or lose, is if you play in the SEC, it's because your schedule was hard. And if you don't play in the SEC, it's because your schedule wasn't as hard as the SEC. And you know what? I don't really understand why fans of SEC schools don't get that the rest of us get really pissed off and we get really tired of every single thing that anybody else does being characterized that way. When Clemson won, remember, Clemson beat 8 ranked teams. When they beat Alabama, it wasn't that Alabama got tired in the game. People were even talking, in 2016, people were talking about, well, Alabama had to deal with the SEC and they wore down. People were talking about that when Clemson beat them. In 2015, it was that Alabama was, they were tougher and they were more physical and they were more steeled by the adversaries that they faced. I mean, the same has to be true of the Big Ten. Objectively, Indiana beat a bunch of ranked teams. They beat Ohio State on a neutral. They beat Alabama, that top 10 team who made it through an SEC gauntlet or whatever you want to say. They're winning these games. They're beating these teams. But it's because their schedule's not as tough. The lack of logical consistency is absolutely infuriating. It's just infuriating. And it's a shame that Nick Saban is saying it because it's just propaganda. It's exactly what Nick Saban would say if he was a coach and he would, you know, I was hopeful, Ben, that Nick Saban would use his platform to try to be a little more honest. But sadly, this is what Nick Saban did. Remember, 15 years ago when Nick Saban told us that hurry up, no huddle offenses were like killing children? Remember that? That he was like, you know, puppy deaths were up 5% in Auburn last year because Gus Malzahn ran 90 plays a game. Like, he would just make stuff up about how dangerous it was for the world. Their kids starving in Africa because Gus Malzahn ran 90 plays against us. I mean, he would just make stuff up about how horrible it was. And then 2 years later, he's doing it.
He said something similar to that for Power 5 conferences playing Group of 5 conference teams at one point.
Yes.
Yeah, like you're going to kill these kids.
And he's playing FCS every year. I mean, he's one of the pioneers of the pre-Auburn FCS opponent.
I think your point that you made at the beginning is the best one, though. The reason the SEC was the best was because they won championships every year. Now, it is not the reason the Big Ten is the best. It's convenient. It's a convenient way to change that argument to fit whatever narrative you have.
And you know what? There were some of us, I've been doing this a while, there were some of us who argued that there's more to a conference than your best team. There were some of us that argued that along, okay? That we were saying that in 2016, 17, 18, when the ACC was very good. Like, it was a very good conference. The middle of the ACC was very good, and the top of the ACC was very good. When Florida State started to dip under Jimbo is when that middle got murky. And, like, Petrino started, you know, the fact that he never recruited or, you know, developed anybody other than his quarterback, like, that started to show and that kind of stuff. Couldn't keep getting Georgia's cast-offs for his defense, all that stuff. So some of those programs went down. But some of us were saying that in the mid-2010s, when the SEC was still talking about how elite their conference was, and we're going, now, wait a minute, you can look at these factors like defensive draft picks. The ACC was highly competitive. You can look at things like, some of the, the SP plus FPI type stuff. The ACC was very competitive. Direct ACC versus SEC competition. The ACC was very competitive. And so even when Alabama wins in 2015 and wins in 2017, the reality is like that. There's an argument there. There's an argument to be made. But the SEC folks would tell you that the only thing that mattered is who won the national title. Except for 2016. And you know what's funny about this? And this is a uniquely Clemson problem. Do you come across these like once a month? These posts that are like, wow, Alabama really had this offense. And it's their 2018 offense. And Clemson people just bombard the comments because they're like, how many points did they score in the national championship game? They're like, oh, man. And all the NFL guys that you just list down. Do you ever see one about the Clemson offense that had Trevor Lawrence and T. Higgins and all the Travis Etienne, like all these guys?
Every now and then, but not near the – I mean, and it would be from a Clemson fan account.
It's like the 2018 national championship game never happened. It's like we stopped analyzing Alabama an hour before that game kicked off. And so we still have the vision of that Alabama team from before that game. They are given this huge mulligan for losing by 28 points in a national championship game that no one's ever gotten, as if they are like the best offense of all time. Whatever everyone was saying before that game, people still say it before they'll talk about that Clemson team. It's just the fact that Clemson beat them by 28 is just an inconvenient narrative that people will try to use to discredit the SEC or whatever. That's the kind of stuff that people get frustrated with. It's the discrediting of an Ohio State team that took a weed whacker to everybody in the playoff, including Tennessee, by the way, who got absolutely destroyed. Remember when Tennessee was going to go and take over Ohio State Stadium? Remember that? And it was like a neutral site game, right. And then they lost by 30. Indiana goes and absolutely pace Alabama. Michigan rolls to a national championship game, honestly looking like a Saban Alabama team, looking like a Kirby Smart Georgia team. No respect for them. Now we got to talk about the seven. Well, let's compare the seventh best teams in the league. If you wanted to have the conversation about the whole league being better, we were doing that in the 2010s. We were doing that. Some people have been doing that all along. But you guys in the SEC only wanted to talk about who survived. So let's do that. You can't have it both ways. That's the thing that bothers me. You're right, Ben. Worst comment of the day. It is only 12:40. So all these talking heads and coaches have like 5 hours to best it.
Yeah. Oh, and there's still Lane Kiffin hanging out there from today.
Oh, boy. I've got a couple fun Kiffin quotes from today that you're just going to love. 654 Roar, you'd like to get in. Pratt Andrew Lawyer's phone lines. Adams at Gerfing text line. Hour one continues next.
With the Roar app, you're carrying 13 hours of live local sports talk right in your pocket. From the start of the Mickey Filer Show to the end of Road Rage. We're streaming live no matter where you are in the world. Download the Roar app today.
I love how responsive one Tom Plummer is. We say that you can call the plumber, his name is his number. I've told this story before. I called him about a service at my house, and I wasn't sure if it was a plumber or if it was another industry that needed to do it. They actually got me in touch with somebody that could fix my problem that they work with in the past. They didn't just say, oh, we can't deal with that. We can't do that at all. The reality is that they want to help people. They do. And so they do it with preventative stuff, but they also do it with the emergency service. And that's what we love about One Time Plumber. If you're in the upstate, you've got somebody relatively close to your home that's going to come by within 24 hours with those drain pipe issues, with those clogs, those leaks, those hot water issues that are grinding progress in your home or in your business to a screeching halt. There's something for everybody in need at One Time Plumber. Call the plumber whose name is his number. That's a very good friend. It's Clemson Grad owned and operated One Time Plumber.
The only thing louder than the upper deck on a Saturday. Score! The Upstate Sports Authority. 105.5 and 97.5. The Roar. Where every day is game day.
Get deals on what you need during MVP's bonus days at Lowe's. Right now, save $250 when you buy a DeWalt 12-inch sliding miter saw and adjustable stand together. Plus, save $710 on an LG kitchen suite and earn three times the bonus points on all LG appliances. Because Lowe's knows savings, Lowe's knows pros. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See sales associate for details. Bonus points calculated before tax and fees after applicable discounts of any. Valid 115 to 126. Subject to change.
When your reputation is on the line, every detail matters. At Yoder's Building Services, we partner with professional builders who demand precision, reliability, and products that perform. That's why we proudly supply and install Anderson Windows, trusted for superior craftsmanship, energy efficiency, and long-term durability. We understand timelines, inspections, and what it takes to keep your projects moving. Yoder's Building Services, built on trust, backed by Anderson Windows.
Every business around here is built on hard work. Upcountry Fiber is here to make sure your technology is just as solid. We show up for you every day with fiber internet that keeps you moving, managed IT that keeps your systems running smoothly, business phones that keep you connected, and security cameras watching over everything you've built. We're local, we're responsive, and we care about your business and its success. Visit upcountryfiber.com/business to get started.
Whether it's cruising around the neighborhood or hanging out with friends at the tailgate, do it in style with a golf cart from Elite Custom Golf Carts. Let their friendly staff help you find the perfect ride for you and your family. Call today to ask about their free delivery to over 10 U.S. states and flat rate delivery to many more. Now with 3 locations, call or stop in and see what makes Elite Custom Golf Carts the Upstate's golf cart superstore. Visit them at EliteCustomGolfCarts.com. Proudly owned by a Clemson alumni. Go Tigers!
The best 13 to 16-year-old baseball players come together August 1st through the 8th as Little League International presents the Senior League Baseball World Series at J.B. Owens Ballpark.
Stuart Mandel said this was also the Pac-12 spin when they kept missing the playoff.
Yikes.
Oh, you just don't understand. It's not about who wins it. It's about the depth of the league. And again, the SEC laughed at them. It's just, you know what? It's not even, my principal issue is not even that the SEC's collective logic here is bad. Okay? Even though a lot of the things are logically bad. It is that we tried to have these discussions years ago, and they convinced us that the same arguments they are making now were not correct. That's what bothers me, is that you have the same people who are arguing that getting to the top of the mountain is the only way a conference can be great that are now telling me how that's the least relevant thing that there is. I mean, Nick Saban's quote, the quote that you had, whoever wins the national championship doesn't define who has the best conference. Well, then, okay, then let's list what does. Because here's the thing. In 4 days of the SEC, which there's got to be a better thing for this, but I am now going to call the Scared and Effeminate Conference. It used to just mean more, and now they're the Scared and Effeminate Conference, the SEC. Because where is the toughness? Where is the fight? Where is the bravado? All these people are arguing that the things we see with our eyes don't matter. It's a silliness. All we've heard for 4 days is how games don't matter. That's all we've heard. And honestly, preconceiving narratives about how games don't matter. Lane Kiffin did it today. Here's a quote from Kiffin. Listen, I'm sorry. If it comes up every day, we're going to talk about it every day. Lane Kiffin says that the committee needs to get to a point, this is a quote, that can actually look at teams and say, that team that is 9-3 with their schedule is a better team than that 11-1 in a different conference. Lane Kiffin is the latest coach to step at the podium and say that. It is a concerted effort to convince you that a 9-3 team in the SEC, as long as the right people are telling you their games were really hard, is better than an 11-1 team in another conference. And honestly, you know what it is? And I don't want to do this. This is political. But it feels like they're basically making it's now an online meme that 9-3 Alabama could have made it in 24 if Mike Pence had the courage. You know that online meme of like, Argentina could still win the World Cup if Mike Pence had the courage. And it's like all this, you know, it's all this. It's like, no, man, there is not one example, not one, of an 11-1 team that made it to the playoff as an at-large that was considered a lesser team than a 9-3 team that didn't make it as an at-large. You are creating a straw man and then beating it to death.
I have to think they're talking about like James Madison's of the world who are not an automatic qualifier. And what people continue to forget, and we got this text a couple of days ago about them in particular, is that we don't have any of this without the inclusion of the James Madisons of the world, because you have to have their vote in order to make this path. And you can't eliminate the group of five or group of however, six, four, 12, however many it is now. You can't eliminate them because they won't vote for this. And those conference commissioners get an equal vote, just like Greg Sankey does and Jim Phillips does. They do. And people continue to forget that. Well, it's not fair that 11-1 James Madison gets in and 9-3 Texas doesn't. Fair doesn't matter in this case. You don't have any of this. You go back to a 14 playoff without this, because you had to have that vote. And the only way to get that was to include some automatic qualifiers.
I don't understand why, given this logic, why the SEC doesn't support a 2014 playoff. Because wouldn't you want to make sure that this dullard committee that doesn't understand that some 9-3 teams are better than 11-1 teams, wouldn't you want to just include all the three-loss teams just in case the committee just has no clue what they're doing? I mean, wouldn't it make all the sense in the world? Because, like, you can go to 17, 18, 19 or whatever it is, and you're going to find 9-3 teams. Every year you're going to find 9-3 teams in the top 20. So why would you stop at 16, SEC, if it's so important to make sure that these highly qualified 9-3 teams that no one knows what they are, but for sure they exist, just trust us, they exist. Why would we not want to go to 24? Why would we stop at 16? Nobody's asked that question.
I think you're right about the straw man argument, though, because let's just play along. If the committee did what Lane Kiffin is asking for, and that is have the guts to put in a team that's 9-3 with a better strength of schedule, okay, over 11-1, stop right there. How do we decide that strength of schedule? There has to be some kind of metric for that. And while SP Plus is more strength of schedule than anything, I would imagine. Am I right there?
That's right.
And
it's highly factored in. Yes. SEC wants to count it twice, but it's highly factored in.
And FPI factors it into. It's a little bit different metric, but so I'm looking at those Quark. At the end of last year, I'm going down the list here. The highest SEC team in SP Plus was Georgia at number 6. They got in. Ole Miss at number 7. In. And then there's nobody that did not get in over an automatic qualifier. I mean, anybody lower than that got in deserved to be in. They were automatic qualifiers. I mean, it's not like there was somebody sitting there at number 8 that got skipped in lieu of somebody at number 12 in an at-large.
Who are the – all right, let me do this.
Am I making sense?
Yes.
There?
So the at-large
back to your question – specifically, who are you arguing? What is this argument?
There is, and I'm using FPI. You use FPI, I'm going to use FPI.
Yeah, now I was giving you SP Plus, but FPI, the numbers are about the same.
Okay, here are the at-large berths. This is actually after all the games are played. I'm not sure how to go back to before. So this is after all the games are played. This is the ranking in the FPI, which again is not like the be-all, end-all, but it is an example of a system that one might use to determine that a three-loss team is better than a one-loss team. The at-large teams that were selected into the college football playoff, here's where they ranked in the FPI. Ohio State at 2. Notre Dame at 3 was actually the most notable exception, but the SEC's not arguing for Notre Dame to get in. That's crazy. Oregon at 4. Miami at 5. Georgia won the SEC. The other SEC teams, Ole Miss at 9, Alabama at 10, Texas A&M at 12, and Oklahoma at 15. The reality is that a metric that doesn't just look at the loss column, it does look very closely at how you play against your schedule, said that the four lowest-ranked at-large teams all came from the Southeastern Conference. There's no example of a team whose resume was propped up because they won a bunch of fluff games by a field goal. That did not exist last year.
And that's the point I was trying to make unsuccessfully, and you did a better job. Thank
you. You did it.
I was just
finishing what you started.
They're arguing for something that technically is already happening. Unless you're talking about the James Madisons of the world, and that is off the table. That is not an option. So if it's not an option, why are we arguing for that? All these other at-large, you're already factoring in strength of schedule or perceived strength of schedule. It's built in. So what is it that you're pissed off about? And explain it to Notre Dame.
Exactly. Notre Dame is the team that has a legitimate beef here.
Of anybody in the world, if somebody's going to have a beef here, it's Notre Dame. It's not anybody that got left. In fact, Notre Dame has a beef with Alabama, technically.
Yes.
That should have been the trade-off.
What's amazing is, according to FPI, even after Miami made a run to the national championship game, Notre Dame's still ahead of Miami in the FPI. Notre Dame didn't play a single postseason game. They're still ahead of Miami.
I mean, Tulane and James Madison, I guess, is what you're – that's the reason that you're threatening to break away and do your own thing?
But see, here's the thing. They keep talking about, like, the committee needs to do this, the committee needs to do this. The committee had no responsibility to look at James Madison or Tulane. All they had to do was determine if James Madison, Tulane, and Duke, two of those three teams were getting in. That's all they had to do. They could not compare James Madison to a 9-3 SEC team. That was not on the table for them.
And as we talked about yesterday, you can find outliers in all these metrics and because they are not foolproof. And case in point, Penn State finished 7-6 and 15th in the FPI last year. In SP Plus, Clemson was 31. Anybody think Clemson was 31st last year?
No. I watched that team, Ben. No, sir. No, sir. Not even close.
Southern Cal was 6. Penn State, if you want to just use a metric, Penn State and Southern Cal were better than Texas and BYU and Tennessee and Alabama, for that matter. So, I mean, be careful what you wish for here. Again, just tell me what it is that you're mad about and what, because it's already happening. What you're asking for is already happening.
You know what, folks? I'm encouraged by this, okay? I'm encouraged by this. That other than the people with a vested interest in seeing this type of logic take hold, there has been a widespread rebuttal and repudiation of this across the media sphere, okay? Like, there, other than the SEC Network panel, even David Hale's, like, LOLing, sort of. You know, David Hale's kind of a snarky guy. Like, he's not going to tell a joke. He's going to be snarky about it. But he's sort of being snarky about the Saban comments today. Those are the kind of people. You're not convincing anyone of this, but it's important that we talk about it because I'm going to tell you something right now. These are prominent voices. There are some people that are like, why are y'all talking about it every day? Well, we're talking about it every day because they are talking about it every day, and eventually their goal is to wear you out. Eventually their goal is to say a thing over and over and over and over again to the point that you begin to believe it just so they will shut up. And we can't do that. We can't do that to college football. You know what's an existential threat to the regular season? People talk about all that, the NIL and the portal and, oh, the ticket prices and all that stuff. You know what's an actual threat to the regular season? Somebody pre-convincing you before any games are played that a 9-3 team in one conference is going to be better than other 11-1 teams. That is actually bad for the sport.
Yes, it is.
And it actually diminishes the value of the regular season.
It diminishes the regular season. It diminishes every game because what you're telling me, what Lane Kiffin is saying, is that the win does not matter. It only matters how good the team on the other sideline is.
We'll talk about this more on the other side. Braves update, Tom Allen's interview at 2:05. A lot more coming your way.
WCCP-FM 105.5 Clemson. Greenville Anderson. WAHT-AM 1560. Cowpens. 97.5 Spartanburg. We are the Roar.
Slow prices. Love the savings. The Ingles in Clemson is like my happy place. I've said that many times. It's like a home game. And it's because you get familiar with people there that work there, you have conversations, but also because I can kind of get around, I can navigate really well. I can find the good deals. That's what I love at Ingles. Ben, because of your lunch schedule, the Easley, Ingles on 123 is like your home. You feel like it's your home away from home.
They're thriving. And I messed up yesterday, Kwok. My wife, while she shopped somewhere else because of the locality of that place to our house, there's a lot of things that we only buy at Ingles, like beef. And I was supposed to get hamburger at Easley Ingles yesterday, and I did not do it. And I was in the doghouse last night.
You know, I need to say this one real quick before we go to break. Your salad habits, I think they have elevated. I think they've raised the game. I feel like it was better lit last time I went in there, like they were really trying to put their best foot forward for you because they know that you demand excellence. At Ingles, low prices, love the savings.
Forget the national noise.